It is 1:30. This is KYR 89.1. I'm Daniel Breen. We're breaking into our programming to go live to Governor Asa Hutchinson's latest daily briefing on the coronavirus.
Daily update. Yesterday, we were in Forest City and had a good day there and a really helpful discussion with some of the city leaders there. I am joined by Secretary of Health, Dr. Nate Smith, today, but also Secretary Cindy Gillespie. Has joined me today of Department of Human Services. And then we have Rachel Bunch, also Executive Director of the Arkansas Healthcare Association. As I indicated, I think it was last week, we wanted to spend a little time on nursing homes today and talk about that topic and the progress we're making there. As I mentioned yesterday, we were in Forest City, and just to recap, Saturday we had an emphasis on testing in Forest City. And 550 tests were done in Forest City on Saturday. And this is, I think, the most extensive testing we've done in any community since this started. And thus far, 500 results have come in, with 32 of those being positive. So very successful. I want to applaud Dr. Smith and his team, the Department of Health, and the community for responding so appropriately to that increased testing opportunity. Yesterday we had 4,813 cases of COVID-19 in Arkansas. Today we're up an additional 110 cases. That brings us to 4,923. In terms of hospitalizations, we had 77 hospitalizations yesterday. We're up 1 to 78. In terms of deaths, we've had additional 2 deaths. That brings us to 102 here in Arkansas. If you look at the graphs, you'll see this result, the number of new cases in Arkansas, and the last one, as you can see, being the second highest in terms of the community. I noted that, and I'm sure you're noting that as well, which reflects increased testing. But also the fact that we have still work to do in Arkansas, and it's a reminder to be careful. The next chart is the 7-day rolling average, which still keeps us on a good trajectory, although we'd like to see that go down more. And then the next one is the number of active cases in Arkansas, which mirrors really the portion of the current cases, the cumulative cases we have, minus those that have recovered, gives us the active cases, as you can see. And then these are reflecting the number of hospitalized COVID patients. Again, our peak was about 110, and we're down less than 80 at the current time, at 78. And then with that, I just want to remark that we continue the effort for 60,000 tests in the month of May. And in May, thus far, we've had 39,700 tests, so we're on our way toward our 60,000 goal. Yesterday, we had 3,014 tests with a positivity rate of 1.5%. And now I mentioned we wanted to focus on our nursing homes just for a minute. And I wanted to thank our nursing home workers and the residents of our nursing homes that have been through a lot. They've been through a lot of challenges, and they've really acted heroically and very necessarily for this day and time. And it's been tough whenever you restrict the visitors to our nursing homes. A heart goes out to those residents, but I also want to thank the workers and the way they've handled all of this. In each instance, Dr. Smith has deployed a rapid response team and strategy for our nursing homes whenever we get a positive case that reduces the spread and it saves lives. This aggressive approach in the nursing homes is what is the successful and the right strategy in terms of testing. And the workers continue to do an amazing job showing up regardless of the circumstances and whether they're dealing with a COVID resident or not, and I applaud them. And if we could look at a couple of slides that are directly at the nursing home, this one right here, This is the number of active COVID-19 cases in nursing homes. And so you can see how we had the peak at 120 active cases in nursing homes across Arkansas, and then it's been on the downward trend, where we only have about 82 active cases in the nursing homes in Arkansas. And then the next chart, as Dr. Smith says, it's our Pac-Man chart. He recognized quickly, but here you see in the yellow that these are nursing homes in Arkansas with zero COVID-19 cases. And so that's 192 nursing homes in Arkansas with zero cases, 18 with one case, 10 with 2 to 5 cases, 1 with 6 to 10 cases, and then there's 6 with 11 or more. And so you can see the pie chart for those smaller numbers, but the vast number of 192 have zero cases. And then if you look at the final graph, as you recall, we approved, and with the help of the Arkansas General Assembly, we allocated funds for enhanced payment of our direct care workers in our nursing homes and long-term care facilities in Arkansas. And so the first payments went out on May 1, 2020, of $1.7 million. Processed to be paid on May 8th, May 15th, and May 22nd, which is still one coming, but all of these have been approved and processed. It totals over $21 million, and this will go to over 8,000 employees in long-term care facilities in Arkansas, and I think this is enhanced payments that are well-deserved, and we're delighted to get those out the door and in their hands. I did want to make one announcement today, and that is looking to the future in terms of our nursing home care and the protection and safety of our nursing home residents and staff. Beginning June 1, our goal is to test every nursing home resident and staff person in a nursing home facility in Arkansas. This will result in approximately 40,000 to 50,000 new tests simply by testing staff and nursing home residents next month in June in those facilities. If you add to that, of course, our routine testing, you're going to see a very large number of tests next month here in Arkansas. This additional testing will better protect our nursing home residents, it will protect our staff, and it'll give confidence to our staff, our residents, that we're doing everything we can to make sure that there is no spread and contagion in these facilities. And so I want to compliment Dr. Smith for developing these plans. And I also want to express appreciation to the Healthcare Association and Rachel Bunch, because they've been an extraordinary partner in making sure that the care is provided, and it's been a good team effort. So Dr. Smith.
This is Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith.
Thank you. I want to reiterate the governor's remarks about our work with the nursing homes. I think the facilities have worked together with us very well to really minimize the number of cases, the number of deaths in particular, that it could have been. It is possible that COVID-19 is much, much worse in these facilities, but due to a rapid response approach. And I'm also very encouraged that we're going to be able to move into a total screening of all residents and all staff come the beginning of next month. And I want to particularly call out Dr. Naveen Patil, who is our medical director for infectious diseases, and Kelly Garner, who leads our healthcare associated infections team. They've been working very closely with Rachel and with the facilities on this. I want to give a few details on the numbers that the governor provided. We did have 110 new cases. Of those, 4 were in correctional institutions or correctional facilities. 106 were considered community. So our total is 4,923. Of those, 1,082 are considered active cases. Of our active cases, 83 are in nursing homes, 369 in correctional facilities, and 630 are in the community. I want to give a brief update on our nursing homes. We currently have 325 residents who have tested positive for COVID-19. That's an increase of one from yesterday. And we have 189 staff who have tested positive. That's an increase of two from yesterday. I'll briefly give an update also on our correctional facilities. The testing that was done at the FCI, the Federal Correctional Institute in Forest City, by the CDC and the prison itself, the FCI itself, we're getting those results back. The testing completed on Saturday, and we have currently a total of 585 inmates who have tested positive and 17 staff. As the governor mentioned, I believe we have 78 currently hospitalized. That's a net increase of one from yesterday. We have 14 currently on a ventilator. That's an increase of two from yesterday. And we've had two additional deaths, so we're at 102 deaths. We do have 3,739 who have recovered. That's an increase of 94 from yesterday. I want to give a little bit more detail on our testing. Yesterday was an all-time high for us in terms of testing. There were 3,014 tests done with a 1.5% positivity. I also want to give some details on where those new cases from the community are coming from. We had three counties with more than 10 new cases. Pulaski County had 19 new cases yesterday. Sevier County had 14, and St. Francis County had 13. We've also done some additional analysis. Of course, you know, we opened up a number of businesses over the last 2 weeks and wanted to see whether these new cases could be associated with those. And the answer, short answer is not really. We've had a total of all of our 1,082 active cases. Only three of them had reported being to a restaurant within that incubation period. Only six had reported being to a barber shop, 10 to a church, three to a daycare, and four to a gym. Each of those are 1% or less. So these activities don't appear to be driving our community cases at this point. As the governor mentioned, since we've pretty much tripled our testing rate, we are identifying a lot of cases, especially asymptomatic cases, that we weren't picking up before this. And if you look at the patterns of going up and down, that's not really a biological pattern. It's not usual that you'd have 50 new infections one day and 100 the next day and then back to 50 the next day. This is really more a function of our testing and where we've targeted our testing in the state. Hopefully, as we continue to increase our testing, identify more of these new cases, interrupt the spread of COVID-19, we'll see those numbers stabilize and also go down. With that, I'll go ahead and turn it back over to the governor.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. And as I said, Secretary Gillespie has done a great job in getting these funds out to the direct care workers in our long-term care facilities. Working with Rachel Bunch with the Healthcare Association, she's done a remarkable job both with the facilities themselves and any positive cases, but also in the assistance provided in getting these funds out. So Rachel, if you could come and make your comments.
This is Rachel Bunch, Executive Director of the Arkansas Healthcare Association.
Thank you for the opportunity to provide a status update today on long-term care in Arkansas. I wanted to start by thanking my friends at Twin Rivers Nursing Home in Arkadelphia, Arkansas. They made this mask for me with my name and association name for our team. They're great members of ours. Thank you to Governor Hutchinson for your acknowledgement and support of our long-term care heroes, our workers. The work that they do is so often overlooked and taken for granted. Your recognition and innovative incentive payment program means so very much to them, and the work that they do, it further reinforces their important purpose. The people who reside in our long-term care facilities include our precious grandparents, aunts, uncles, veterans, teachers, and they deserve our very best. One of my members often reminds me, we can't pay our staff what they're worth. We are indebted to these people, and the state of Arkansas is indeed indebted to them as well. They're at the bedside of our most elderly citizens every day. Many of these jobs aren't glamorous, yet our staff remain dedicated. They know now that housekeeping, laundry, dietary, and nursing are important now more than ever. Many of our staff members have volunteered for extra shifts during this time, covering for coworkers who might have contracted the virus or their family members might have contracted the virus, and they've made family sacrifices to keep coming to work. As a state, we have not only met, but we continue to exceed our minimum staffing requirements. Unlike many other states, we are not in a position to have to rely on workers who test positive to work in our facilities, and we hope that we don't get to that point. Through Governor Hutchinson and our legislature, these incentive payments make a real difference to many of our workers who are single parents, and many of those workers are now the only source of income due to the virus affecting their household. I wanted to talk briefly about testing. As the governor and Dr. Smith mentioned, our state has taken a proactive approach to testing in long-term care that's different than many other states. Anytime we have a positive worker or resident, we test the entire building, not waiting for other people to become symptomatic. I would also like to thank Dr. Patil, Kelly, and Pam for their team at the Department of Health, as they've been available to help us bridge the gap many times on nights and weekends to assist us with testing and giving us space in their lab when they have a quick need to respond. This approach has allowed us to identify positive asymptomatic workers and patients early so that we can move patients to areas that are unaffected and send those workers home until they get well. We will continue to work with private labs and the health department and are working together on the appropriate plan for statewide testing. As the governor mentioned, the administration released guidance this morning on nursing home reopening and plans for testing, and we'll be working with those, as we know family members in the community are beyond ready to come and see their loved ones. On a positive note, we've been working closely with the health department tracking these affected facilities and cases. A few things to note that I'm particularly proud of. One, 72 of our long-term care residents have now recovered. There are many stories I could tell you about all of these 72 people, but one in particular at the Walnut Ridge Nursing Home is a resident. She's 102 years old, had coronavirus, recovered, and has now moved back into her regular room. That's a big success. Two, 189 of our healthcare workers have recovered. Next, 19 of our facilities have been moved off of the list of active cases. This means that they have minimized or eliminated the spread of the virus that was living within their walls with a resident. This is an incredible accomplishment, and the work that they're doing is really paying off. 19 facilities have now come off of this list. And finally, to put our numbers into perspective, while any case in long-term care is one too many, the number of current positive residents in Arkansas reflects 1.4% of our total population and just 0.7% of our staff members. This has been an incredibly difficult time for our facilities, and we appreciate the community support across the state. We have been so touched by the meals for the staff, community events, and so many of the really sweet parking lot prayer services. Just to name a few, the Newton County Nursing Home, which is a rural part of the state, they had an event, parking lot prayer service. Over 50 vehicles gathered in the parking lot there, flashing their lights, holding up homemade signs of encouragement for their staff and residents. Bellevue and Monticello had a community parade last weekend, antique car show, members of the community driving by to wave at their loved ones. Pastors from the Ashdown area held a special prayer service surrounding the Little River Nursing Home. This is far from over, and something that will likely change long-term care as we know it in Arkansas. There's a lot of work left to do on PPE, testing, and adjustments to our operations. While we are tired, we remain dedicated to the people that we serve. Thanks again, Governor, for your acknowledgement of our heroes who are fighting this invisible battle, our long-term care staff.
Terrific. Thank you so much, Rachel. And with that, we will turn it open for any questions.
The new cases, are any of those related or, you know, related to a certain facility or anything like that?
Dr. Smith?
Health Secretary Nate Smith.
You asked about the, we've had one new resident, and that was at Lakes of Maumelle.
I guess in terms of like Bexar County, where there's 10 or so cases and it's a pretty small county, were any of those related to each other?
Short answer is I don't have the details on those 10 new, we do know that there was work-related outbreak at the Pilgrim's Pride plant in Daquin, and there are 6 active cases there. So it's possible that some of those may be related to that, but I don't have that level of detail yet.
Yes.
Governor, with some COVID-19 infections coming out of the West Wing, do you consider your visit to President Trump a risk? Do you plan on wearing a mask? Are you considering self-quarantining after?
I will be wearing a mask. I understand that is required in the West Wing, but I would be wearing a mask anyway. Secondly, they will be testing me before I go in to the West Wing, so that will actually be my first COVID-19 test. And beyond that, I expect to have a normal meeting with the president and return to Arkansas.
Let down with an Arkansas number or a DC number?
You'll have to ask Dr. Smith that. I hope it's no stat, zero stat.
I guess this question would be for Rachel over here. When you said there's still work to be done on PPE for nursing homes, what are we looking at there?
This is Rachel Bunch, Executive Director of the Arkansas Healthcare Association.
When I said there's work to be done on PPE, it's definitely work in progress. A lot of the national reports you'll hear from other states that have been affected more so than Arkansas, where they don't have PPE. That's not the case for any of our facilities that are affected. It's a day-by-day thing, and facilities don't have enough for every home if everyone were to be affected, but the regular supply chains are starting to come back into production and add to it. The association's coordinating PPE, some of the resources that the governor did the purchase on back to them. So it's a day-by-day thing, but they have what they need right now.
Is there a certain region that's being hit a little harder than others? Is it more of a rural type thing? Or?
No, it's pretty much statewide, and we have people that help make deliveries constantly, PPE just where they need it. And some facilities, when all of this started, we were just coming out of flu season, and so a lot of the PPE that we were using was already low. So we've been working to try to get more, and it's a work in progress.
I did want to recognize A.J. Geary, our Director of Emergency Management, and Secretary Cook has joined us. Who is over public safety, as Secretary of Public Safety. Thank you all for what you do day in and day out. Is there any question remotely?
Yes, Governor, good afternoon. Steve Ledger in Hot Springs.
All right, so
just a question.
Go ahead.
Thank you. It's a question for Dr. Smith. If he clarified the numbers on the active cases, because if I heard you right, Dr. Smith, 182 active cases, of which 369 are in correctional facilities. But a few moments later, I thought I heard you say they finished up the FCI testing and there were 585 positives in that. So I'm confused about that discrepancy. I'm gathering some of those are recovered.
Yes, we have 1,082 active cases, and of those, 369 are in correctional facilities. Some of those in the FCI have recovered, but not all the numbers from the FCI are in our system yet. Those were done by CDC and Bureau of Prisons staff, and using a number of different testing sources, and I'm giving you those numbers as soon as we're getting them, but we don't have all the details of those. Those will likely be added to our numbers in the next few days.
And then I heard a lady remotely.
Governor. Yes, that's me, Governor. This is Jamie White for 4029. I just wanted to ask, we've been made aware of positive COVID-19 cases linked to the Butterball plant in Huntsville, Arkansas. I just wanted to ask what the Arkansas Department of Health is doing to help test those employees, and at what point would it be recommended for the plant to shut down?
Okay. Did you hear that, Nate? I think that's the Butterball. Did you say Butterball plant in Dardanelle?
Huntsville.
In Huntsville.
The Butterball in Huntsville, Arkansas.
You know, have
This is Health Secretary Nates.
I don't have anything specifically on that. When we have an outbreak in a work site, we do work with the work site, and in some cases they already have a plan for testing, and we just receive those results and help them to work through the contact tracing, et cetera. In other cases, we do go in and provide testing and whatever support is needed. In terms of when to shut down a plant, if they can continue operating safely, then there's no reason to shut down. If there are quite a few cases and they need to close for cleaning, then that's also acceptable. Usually we don't have to close a plant down for a period of time unless there are just so many people sick they can't continue to function.
You mentioned the Pilgrim's Pride plant, just kind of along the same lines. Do you know how that's being handled there?
In terms of that, what was exactly the question?
Just like how they're responding to the cases there. Like,
I don't have detailed knowledge on that. We have some of our staff who specifically work with work sites on that, so we can take best practices, lessons learned, and we tailor it to the site, again, depending on the size of the outbreak and the capacity of the facility itself, what they need, we can tailor it to that.
Yes.
I think I heard Rachel say that 19 nursing home facilities were removed from the active list, and I wanted to see if that was with patients recovering for with self-quarantining, or what exactly those facilities were doing.
This is Rachel Bunch, Executive Director of the State Healthcare Association.
If the patients recovered through self-quarantining, or if they were passed away and then removed off of the active list, or what have these facilities been doing?
So it's a variety. The majority of people, the vast majority of those patients have recovered. They've been isolated and received medical care there. Some of those patients might have gone to a hospital. That's a smaller number. Some have passed away. That's also a smaller number. But most of them recovered in the facility, and then they're able to move back to their other part.
Yes. Does the goal to test in the nursing homes include human development centers?
That is part of the goal, yes. Is there one more question remotely, and we'll be...
Governor, I have one more question. I was looking for an update about the data breach with the website. Has an arrest been made, or any news on when that website is going to be back up and running officially?
A good question, and there's two priorities that I have and my team has, and that is, one, to make sure that the site is secure to protect all of the applicants' personal information, and then once that's done, to get the money out the door for those that have been approved. And so that's a step-by-step process that they're working very, very diligently on. I can't give you a time frame on that. We have sent an email to the applicants to make them aware of where we are on this, but we've got to make sure that the system is secure, and then secondly, we want to go through with the process to get those checks out the door that people are really in need of.
Governor, I have a question. This is Jacqueline Froelich at KUAF Public Radio. I have a question regarding the guidelines issued for elective dental services May 11th. There's a letter that was submitted by the Arkansas State Dental Association, a legal complaint saying they applaud the spirit behind Secretary Smith's efforts, but say that the directive is burdensome, and that dentists have followed strict protocols to stop the spread of infectious diseases historically, and they say that it's caused needless confusion, frustration, and harm. Have you seen the letter, and have you responded, sir?
I did receive the letter. I have remarked that the letter that I received from the attorney for the Dental Association was the first notice that we had that there was any issue out there. Dr. Smith set up a dental advisory board that I met with, and that was based upon that discussion. The date was move forward from May 18th to May 11th at really the request of the dental and the assurance that they had sufficient PPE. Since then, through this letter, additional questions have been raised, and it's my understanding that the Dental Advisory Board is going to meet again to consider those issues and to consult with Dr. Smith on that. Dr. Smith, did you have anything to add?
Actually, the COVID-19 Dental Advisory Group met last night. I have not yet received a summary of that, but when I see that, we'll look at whatever adjustments might be needed. It sounded like some conversation needed to happen between the Dental Association and the Board of Dental Examiners. Part of the purpose of that group is that instead of lobbing letters over the wall at each other, people sit down and just talk through these issues and come up with solutions.
Let's come back to the table here. Jay.
So in terms of the PUA website, is everything on pause right now, or are those applicants that have already gone through some of that process, are those being processed in order to get money out of them?
No, it's on pause because we want to make sure that it's secure and that it will be taken off of pause once we have the third-party forensic expert that comes in and says, gives us their report and analysis, then we make a determination to take it off pause and to go through the final step of verification and hopefully getting the checks out. Last question.
Funding for the PUA website come from specifically?
For the PUA website, that would come, and I will have to get you information on that because I'm having to think through. The PUA funding comes from the federal government. They sent the money for that allocation. And then in terms of building the site itself, that may be reimbursed by the federal government, but I can't speak to that 100%. We very well probably advance that from our existing budget with hope that that will be repaid.
And whose responsibility was it to prevent a data breach, the state or the developers?
Well, I mean, the state is the ultimate one responsible, and we hire a contractor, and obviously the contractor has its responsibilities and to make sure that they do it in a good and using best practices to get it done. What's important is those two priorities that I said, which is let's make sure the data is secure. Secondly, let's make sure we can get these checks out the door. And then there's going to be a lot of time in which we're going to be able to assess, how it worked, how it didn't work, what could have been done better. If you're in government, you're going to learn something every day. And I learn something every day as to how we can do things better. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of lessons learned through this process as well. Thank you very much.
That was Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking in his latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. This is 89.1 KYR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. Just a brief update on the numbers that we heard today in today's briefing from the governor. Yesterday, we had a total of 4,813 cases of the coronavirus in Arkansas, with 100 people having died from COVID-19. Today, there has been an increase of 110 new positive test results. That brings the state's total to 4,923, and there have been two more deaths from COVID-19 in the state, bringing the state's death toll from that disease to 102. Of the total number of cases we have seen in Arkansas, 1,082 are considered active. Of those, 83 are associated with nursing homes, 369 are associated with correctional facilities in the state, and 630 are associated with members of the community, just the general public. On the subject of prisons, we heard that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in the U.S. Bureau of Prisons wrapped up testing of inmates and staff at the Federal Correctional Institution in Forest City on Saturday, and the total number of cases there have reached 585 inmates who have tested positive as well as 17 staff, but we heard Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith saying that that number is not fully included in the state's total. We also heard a brief update on some food processing plants in the state, the Pilgrim's Pride plant in DeQueen, 6 active cases there, as well as the Butterball plant in Huntsville up in northwest Arkansas. And again, thank you for listening. This is KYR News.